The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
51551 or Ray at RTE.ie. Another Ray in studio, Ray O'Neill, psychoanalyst. Afternoon, Ray.
Good afternoon.
And Alison Keaton, psychologist. Good afternoon, Alison.
Good afternoon.
And Ray and Alison are here to offer advice on your relationship problems, issues, woes. So we'll get to this one first then. Dear Ray and Alison, I'm looking for some guidance on what to do, please. I suppose I'm of an age where feelings and emotions are not really spoken about. Although I'm a woman, I never really had the opportunity of having a close network of friends in my life to talk to. When I was younger in school, I had good friends, but was always let down or hurt by them. I used to often just pretend it didn't happen. I suppose I was always the type of person to stick my head in the sand and just pick myself up and laugh with people at me and let on that it didn't bother me. It bothered me more than anyone will ever know, and it had an effect on me. So much so that I never felt I was good enough to have a partner. It's lately, maybe since Christmas, that I've been feeling down about not having a partner to share evenings with. More so than that, I guess, I'm in my very late 40s and I've never had a partner, romantically or sexually. It really never bothered me previously to a degree where I felt I needed to ask for help about it. I think that now I see my friends' children having partners and some having children. I've never had the chance. I feel left out. Should I just try and meet someone on Tinder and do the deed, or will I have regrets either way? Thank you. It is a time for reflection, mm-hmm. this time of the year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, especially people that have been through the roller coaster of kind of Christmas and New Year's resolutions, and then the joy of Valentine's being the next commercial pleasure for single people to look forward to. It's a tough time. Mm-hmm. And I really love this person's honesty. I really want to thank this person for writing in, because there are so many people that feel this and don't know how to express it. Mm-hmm.
So what do we say? Should I just try and meet someone on Tinder and do the deed, or will I have regrets either way? There's more to this than just sex.
Oh, God, yeah. I'd bring it right back. Okay, so this is so raw and vulnerable. And like Ray's saying, and I'm going to second it, this is something that's not talked about, and it's such a pity. And then people feel so odd, you know, especially about the sex. They feel like, you know, I'm the only person in the whole country. And that is not the truth. But what I would bring it back to, first of all, is the poignancy of her not feeling good enough. And then taking that from other people who were cruel and mean to her. Now, they might have meant it. But the thing that happens is somebody then gets high rejection sensitivity. So then, as she's saying, it's not that she stuck her head in the sand. She didn't actually. It's just that she actually protected herself so much that she wouldn't allow herself to be vulnerable with friends or a partner. And that's what needs to be looked at here, first of all. And it's not about not kind of looking at the you know, the sexual side of this, because even how she said it, I'll go on Tinder and do the deed. It's not about that. It's about connection with another person. It's about being intimate and feeling safe and comfortable and wanting to share yourself physically with someone else. That's not the same as just doing the deed. And I don't think that would work for her either. I think she'd end up getting hurt.
And just sticking her head back into the sand again. Like, you know, there's some part of you that has chosen to, you know, hold on to your sexuality for a reason. Mm. And to give that to somebody, you know, that you just meet on Tinder to do the deed with, it doesn't respect you and kind of doesn't respect them. One of the things, and again, about therapy, and I know I'm obviously, you know, selling my wares here as a therapist, but it gives you an experience of intimacy that is very safe. It's confidential. It's boundaried. You're in charge. You decide which therapist. You decide whether you stay in that work or don't stay in that work. But it gives you the experience of being able to share with somebody some of the vulnerabilities. And that's what makes that room such a powerful place.
Yeah, so you can have the chats you never had in your life.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that it becomes a template. So that if you are going on dates or developing friendships or relationships with someone else, you're not labored anymore with, I've never told anyone this.
Mm. Mm. So you get the monkey off your back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you share it with someone. And as Ray said, it's such a great point, in a safe space, you know, where you're not going to be judged. You really aren't.
Yeah. So I'm in my very late 40s and I've never had a partner romantically or sexually.
There's so many layers of this. Like, there's the childhood stuff, the kind of the bullying or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's the kind of, you know, not being able to connect. There's being let down. There's isolation. And then there's carrying kind of the burden of virginity or lack of sex. There's so much in this. Mm. You know, take it all one piece at a time. And I would definitely encourage this person really strongly to go and talk with someone, to find some, to just unpack some of these things. Mm-hmm. Because unfortunately or fortunately, the reality is nobody on Tinder, if you put any of this down, will kind of go, ooh, I'd love to meet you.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, the core of this is she does want to connect with someone, but I'd say start with yourself. You know, she's never felt like she's belonged, but you have to begin that process with yourself first. And I think therapy would be the best place for this to start.
We wish you the best. And I think by just putting this down on paper is a really strong start, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, she's had the courage to do this, and she can articulate her feelings. That's gold dust on the dating circuit when you're ready to do that.
And like this, I always think people always say when they finally get to therapy, I can't believe I didn't do this years ago. But genuinely, you weren't ready. And that's the silver lining with January sometimes. When you are feeling a bit, God, Christmas was not the way I wanted to be. I feel so lonely and so isolated. Sometimes we have to get to that point to say, this isn't the way I wanted to be. And then begin a process of changing that.
Right. I sincerely hope that works out for you. A quick question for your relationship experts. I'm happily married with three beautiful children. I have a huge longing desire for another baby, which would be my last, but my husband says he doesn't want any more. I don't know what to do. I can't seem to move on from this. Any suggestions? Thanks. There's a huge contrast, isn't it, between the two of them?
Yeah.
There you go. That's life.
I think just, I do think people have a number in their head with children. And even when she says, I have three beautiful children, it sounds like she's justifying and she should feel grateful for that. And I always think that's kind of sad when people minimize that because, you know, I can hear that you are very happy that you have three children, but sometimes people do have a number in their head. So that's not to say her husband's going to be okay with that, but I wonder how many conversations they've had about it. I often find when things are very kind of sensitive, if someone gets that rejection back immediately from the partner, they say, no, I don't actually want that. And it's not about persuading him into it. But I would still encourage more conversations or try to understand, well why and what does this mean? And you might be surprised. Sometimes people, you know, initially say no. I'm not saying he's going to change his mind, but it definitely is a good idea to go back and revisit the conversation, explaining, I can't let this go.
I would strongly encourage this couple, indeed any couple, to sit down and talk, because you're kind of damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. So if you have a fourth child, there'll be consequences. If you don't have a fourth child, there'll be consequences. Mm-hmm. All two human beings can do is sit down and work through the consequences and find the best path.
So they
through.
Need to sort it out before they move on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that'll only come with chats.
With chat and lots of chats.
Yeah, lots.
Yeah. Have you encountered something like this in your work?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And is it
mostly women who want more children and men who don't, or is it?
Typically, but not always. Yeah. Not always. And I suppose sometimes it's interesting from my perspective, if I have a man and it's his desire to have another child, he sometimes can feel very minimized by his desire and that they're not taken fully into account. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, for both, I think.
Suppose women have a good argument, don't they?
They have to do the actual work.
But you know what? It takes two to make a baby, and then you're both co-parents. So
yes, yeah, I know. But there's a sort of a 9 month gestation.
Just 9 months, but then you're a lifer then. Okay, yeah. I think it is so important that both people are feeling as comfortable with it as possible.
And so again, I'll say this as a man, and it's very easy for me to say, but I would probably ask this reader kind of go, what might having a fourth child bring you? But what does it keep you away from? Because there is such an investment in being a mother, such a relationship there, such love there, such fulfillment there for so many people that sometimes the idea of not being a parent, not being a mother, can be quite scary. Mm. And all that can only come true in conversations.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get to this one. And I hope that works out. Dear Ray, Ray and Alison, ever since my children left home, I've become a lot more anxious and sometimes sad and depressed. When they were at college, we used to see them when they came home for the holidays, but now they have finished their education and completely moved out. My life seems empty and I feel extremely low. I know it's so-called empty nest syndrome, and friends tell me I should do something to take my mind off things. But even though I've taken part-time work for a charity, I work at home, I still feel low. What can I do? My husband says we should get a dog, but I can't see that helping.
It kind of follows on from actually the previous one. Yeah. Here's a mother that's so attached to being a mother that she hasn't allowed the other spaces of her life. And you have to do that while your children are still children. Mm. Otherwise, you will keep your children being children while they're grown up adults. You have to, like, it's gorgeous. I'm not a parent myself. It's a gorgeous thing to be a parent, but you can't just be a parent. You can be a partner. You can be a worker. You can be a volunteer. There's important to have other identities and not just only on one.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, it sounds very sad. And again, it is January. And I know this might sound a little bit sort of simplistic, but it's, for a lot of people, it's the toughest month of the year.
Yeah.
For loads of different reasons.
Absolutely.
I don't think getting a dog is such a bad idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say the opposite.
But here's the thing. You see, your husband's trying to fix it. And I've been told over and over again by various women in my life that I don't want you to fix it, I just want you to listen. But somebody needs to help this woman fix it, doesn't she? Don't they?
And that's what, sometimes we get a label on something like empty nest syndrome, and then people think, well, that's the solution. No, you've just put a name on it.
Right.
Like, oh, you're depressed, you're fixed. Oh, no, I'm still depressed. You have to help me.
Yes. Mm.
So again, with this person, like, it is important to get out into life. But first of all, to probably grieve for what you've lost, which is your role as mother.
Yeah.
So I suppose that's what I hear is a woman who is having a lot of very strong feelings. And even if they get a dog, I think what she is looking for is, you know, a connection. So does she not? I'm not saying she doesn't feel that connection to her husband, but there's a big part of her now where she's questioning, well, what is my purpose and meaning in life? And I totally hear what you're saying, Ray, about, you know, you need to have all the different aspects of yourself, but it can be very difficult. It really can. And children are all consuming and, you know, grab that attention from you sometimes. So I think it's become a term because it happens to so many people because they've kind of gone 100 miles an hour and then all of a sudden the brakes come and it's like, oh.
So what do you suggest?
What's a mixture of things. Talk with your husband. Okay, the dog perhaps, but I think she really does need to connect back with, well, who am I? Where am I going? But maybe ask the kids. You know, maybe organise some things that they can do together. Like, they haven't disappeared off the side of the earth.
Yeah,
but she misses them.
But they could be in Australia, Canada, America, wherever. Okay, well, I hope that works out for you. And keep talking to your husband. That's important too. And maybe the dog. Ray, thank you very much. Alison, thank you.
Thank
Mary Wilson's on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.